Good day, everybody out there. This is your host, John Shomo, of the podcast Then and Now. This is episode number 49. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary. I guess we'll have to number them a little differently after that, I suppose. This week, we will look at the facts for the week, the anniversaries, the birthdays, the historical events from January 31st through February 6th. We'll then look at a series of topics, some more serious than others. This week, I've got a whole list of them here, longer than usual. And then we'll finish off, as we usually do, with three good questions from you and one from me, actually, two from you guys and one from me. If you have a question or any kind of a comment about our podcast, one way or another, please let us know. Our email address is threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions at gmail.com. Okay. January 31st, the first ever Social Security payment was issued to a woman named Ida Fuller on January 31st, 1940. She received a check for $22.54. Let me understand inflation since 1940. The Social Security program, I think some people misunderstand it. It's not an entitlement because we pay into that. Now, we includes more people. I paid into it for 10 or 11 years before I went into teaching. Teaching, we pay into our own state retirement system instead of Social Security. But I did work for 10 or 11 years in other jobs, and I paid into Social Security. So I get a little bit of Social Security money, a little bit more than Ida Fuller got, but not a ton more. Anyway, she got the first one January 31st, 1940. The United States launched its first satellite, Explorer 1, on January 31st, 1958. We were about 4 months behind the Soviets, who had launched Sputnik in October of 1957. Apollo 14, the third moon landing mission, was launched from Cape Canaveral on January 31st, 1971. More about that in a couple of minutes. A 5.0 magnitude earthquake hit Northeast Ohio on January 31st, 1986. I remember it very well. I was working on the third floor of a building in West Akron, and it was a little bit before noon, I guess it was, and we're at our little cubicles and desks and so forth. And things just shook a little bit. Not like, oh my God, I have to run out of the building shaking, but everybody just kind of looked up from what they were doing and looked around and looked at each other like, what was that? I thought maybe a big truck had rumbled by on Market Street and, you know, disrupted things or something. Turned out it was a 5.0 earthquake. There was some minor damage to some buildings in downtown Akron as a result of that one. Now, that's the strongest one that I've ever felt personally. Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's widow, passed away on January 31st, 2006. Birthdays on that date include Jack Roosevelt Robinson, born in Pasadena, California, January 31st, 1919. Very few people shaped the 20th century more than Jackie Robinson. Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub, born January 31st, 1931. It's a shame he never got to play in a postseason game in his great career, over 500 home runs, MVP two or three times, a beloved figure in Chicago. There's a statue of Ernie outside of Wrigley Field. Nolan Ryan, the Ryan Express, will be 78 on January 31st. And Justin Timberlake, who we'll refer to here in a couple of minutes, Justin Timberlake will be 44. All right, February 1st, turning the page on the calendar. Texas seceded from the Union on February 1st, 1861. The first ever sit-in demonstration during the Civil Rights Movement occurred at the Woolworth's lunch counter in Greensboro, North Carolina, on February 1st, 1960. That lunch counter, when that Woolworth's closed down, they transported the whole lunch counter, the menu and everything, to the Smithsonian Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. I've seen it personally. It's quite interesting to stand there and think about what happened. The space shuttle Columbia broke apart upon reentry to the Earth's atmosphere on February 1st, 2003, killing the entire crew. I always remember that day. It was our son Matt's first game in rec league basketball in Talmadge. My dad and stepmom came over. We were sitting around in our house before going to the game, and I got a phone call from my friend Eric. We had a mutual friend that lived down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who said he saw streaks of light, almost like particles, crossing the sky that morning across Texas. It turned out that that was the space shuttle breaking up in the atmosphere. Another tragedy. This part of the year is unfortunately big for our space program's tragedies. Okay, I mentioned Justin Timberlake a moment ago. Super Bowl 38 was played on February 1st, 2004. It was a great game. New England defeated Carolina on an Adam Vinatieri field goal at the buzzer, if you will, 32-29. But I missed the big thing that everybody was talking about the next day at school. During the halftime show, which I didn't watch, there was a wardrobe malfunction involving Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. If you're old enough to remember watching the game, you probably know what I'm talking about. I had no idea. This is one of those things. I usually kind of keep up with current events and everything. I had no idea. I went to school the next morning, Monday morning, and people in the lounge are looking up stuff that I don't really want to talk about right now. And I'm thinking, what did I miss? What happened? What's going on here? Then I found out about the wardrobe malfunction, learned more about nipple jewelry than I already knew, ever knew, you know. Okay, that I kind of gave it away there, didn't I? Anyway, that was February 1st, 2004. Birthdays include the actor Clark Gable, born near Cadiz, Ohio, on February 1st, 1901. Original Saturday Night Live cast member Garrett Morris, born February 1st, 1937. Harry Styles will be 31 on February 1st. February 2nd, Groundhog Day. Happy Groundhog Day. We'll see what Punxsutawney Phil has to say on February 2nd. The National League of Professional Baseball Clubs, known now as the National League, was founded in New York City on February 2nd, 1876. They started play that spring. The original teams were Chicago, the Cubs, St. Louis, the Cardinals, Hartford, the Boston Braves, Louisville, New York, Philadelphia, which is the team that became the Phillies, and Cincinnati, the Reds. Those are the first National League baseball clubs. Frank Sinatra made his singing debut in Indianapolis, February 2nd, 1940. Birthdays include the author James Joyce, born in 1882, George Stanley Hallis, Papa Bear, if you will, one of the founders of the National Football League and the founder of the Chicago Bears franchise. George Hallis, born February 2nd, 1895. The late Tommy Smothers, one of the Smothers Brothers comic team, born February 2nd, 1937. Singer Graham Nash will be 83. That makes me feel really old. Farrah Fawcett was born February 2nd, 1947. Christie Brinkley will be 71. That also makes me feel very old. And Shakira will be 48 on February 2nd. On February 3rd, the 16th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified. On that date in 1913, that created a federal income tax. Yes, it's legal, folks. Woodrow Wilson, the former president, died in Washington, D.C. on February 3rd, 1924. The Yalta Conference over in what is now Russia began on February 3rd, 1945. It's the one where FDR and Churchill and Stalin met, and people looked at the picture and thought, oh my God, FDR looks terrible. He would pass away about 10 weeks later, actually. February 3rd, 1959, known because of a popular song as the day the music died, Don McLean's song, American Pie. Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper were killed in a plane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa on February 3rd, 1959, after doing a show out near the Iowa-Minnesota border the night before. It is immortalized in the great Don McLean song, American Pie. Birthdays on February 3rd, Norman Rockwell, the painter, born in 1894. A couple of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Fran Tarkenton will be 85, and Bob Greasy will be 80. Dave Davies, founder of the British group, highly underrated British group, by the way, the Kinks, will be 78. And Beau Biden, son of President Joe Biden, born on February 3rd, 1969. He passed away in 2015 while his father was vice president, of brain cancer. And the assumption is that he died of brain cancer because he was in Iraq. He did two terms of service in the Army in Iraq. and was sleeping close to those burn pits. The burn pits have been supposed to be the cause of a lot of cancer cases in troops who served over there during that time. And it's thought that that's why Bo Biden, the president's son, passed away in 2015. On February 4th, we will reach the halfway point of winter. And the way this January has been around here, it's about time, I'd say. February 4th is Independence Day in Sri Lanka. Charles Lindbergh, born February 2nd, 1902. Iron Byron, Byron Nelson, one of the great swings in pro golf history. Byron Nelson won 11 tournaments in 1945, by the way, born February 4th, 1912. Rosa Parks, famous for her refusal to give up her seat on the bus in Montgomery, which started the Montgomery bus boycott in the 1950s. Rosa Parks, born February 4th, 1913. Betty Friedan, author of The Feminine Mystique, born February 4th, 1921. Former Vice President Dan Quayle will be 78. And Alice Cooper, real name Vincent Furnier, will be 77. A couple of more, Lawrence Taylor, the Hall of Fame linebacker from North Carolina and the New York Giants, will be 66. And Hunter Biden, Bo Biden's younger brother, will be 55. On February 5th, the Apollo 14 moonwalk. We mentioned Apollo 14 being launched. On the moonwalk during the Apollo 14 mission, Alan Shepard, who had been the first American in space back in 1961, 10 years later in 1971, he snuck a head of a six iron into the lunar module. He attached it. He had a way to attach it to one of the experimental rods that they were using. He dropped three or four golf balls on the lunar surface and played golf, if you will, on the moon. First and only sport played on the lunar surface. Thanks, Al. President Trump was acquitted in his first impeachment trial on February 5th, 2020. Adlai Stevenson, twice the Democratic candidate for president, governor of Illinois. Adlai Stevenson, born February 5th, 1900. Hank Aaron, in my house, he's still the all-time home run king. Henry Aaron, 755 home runs. As crazy as it sounds, he's underrated, I think, by most baseball people. Hank Aaron, born February 5th, 1934. Hall of Fame quarterback, the Navy Heisman Trophy winner, the great Roger Staubach, will be 83. And former Cleveland second baseman, among a couple of other teams, Roberto Alomar, the Hall of Famer, will be 57. Finally this week, February 6th, on that date in 1788, Massachusetts became the sixth state to ratify the Constitution. France signed a treaty promising to help the United States in our war against England on February 6, 1778. Let's make it perfectly clear. We don't win the Revolutionary War without the help from France. Let's remember that. King George VI of England died on February 6, 1952. His daughter Elizabeth became queen on that day. Aaron Burr. If you've seen Hamilton, you know all about that. Aaron Burr, born February 6, 1756. George Herman Ruth, born in Baltimore, Maryland, February 6, 1895, the Bambino. Ronald Reagan, the 40th President of the United States, born February 6, 1911. Former NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw will be 85. And the late Bob Marley died way too young. He was born February 6, 1945. All right, that'll do it for our anniversaries and birthdays and historical events this week. We now move on to our current events segment, our topics, and we have a bunch of them this week, so let's get started. Number one, as we record this yesterday or earlier this week, President Trump ordered the United States health organizations to stop communications with the World Health Organization. What purpose does that serve? Is he still mad at them over COVID? Does he still blame them like it was their fault? The only explanation must be that in Trump's simple, quote-unquote, uncomplicated mind, the WHO had a role in his defeat in 2020 to Joe Biden. I can't think of any other reason why this spiteful act would have been taken. On Tuesday, he suspended all federal grant and loan money. For what purpose? It's probably illegal. It's already been halted, if you will, in court, and extremely damaging to millions of people. Millions of people Their jobs depend on it. That's how they get paid at their jobs. It's very puzzling unless you understand one thing. You've got to understand one thing about Donald Trump. It was true when he was doing business 30, 40 years ago. It's true in his political life as well. Every move he makes will be based on how he perceives it will affect him personally. That's just the way he is. So if you see things, if you hear announcements like that and start wondering how in the world is that helpful to anybody, understand that his motivation is how he perceives it will affect him personally. He's been that way, he's always been that way, and he's always going to be that way, unfortunately. Second, speaking of the White House, the new White House spokesperson, press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, the youngest ever, by the way, at the age of 27, said from the podium yesterday that the White House considers to be something considers something in the Constitution to be unconstitutional. I have a hard time reconciling that personally. She said that the White House considers birthright citizenship to be unconstitutional. Well, we talked about that in a prior episode, the 14th Amendment Clause 2, Section 2, if you will, guarantees citizenship to anybody born in the United States. Now, you can change that with another constitutional amendment, but how can something that's literally in the Constitution be unconstitutional? Okay, we'll give her a break. She's 27 years old, but I find that one a little crazy. Number three, I didn't expect to see a video from Caroline Kennedy yesterday. Caroline Kennedy, the daughter of the late President John F. Kennedy, wrote a letter to the Senate committee that's going to be considering her cousin RFK Jr.'s nomination to be the leader of the Health and Human Services Department. She rarely comments on political activities. She has served the country in numerous roles through her lifetime. She, until last week, was our ambassador to Australia, for instance. But she hasn't really entered the political fray often in her lifetime. This must be really hard for her to do. Caroline Kennedy, if, you know, people my age just remember her as the heartbroken little girl whose father was killed when she was not quite 6 years old in November of 1963. She turned six 2 days after her father's funeral on November 27th of 1963. She's kind of been our American kid all those years. She's been a fantastic servant in numerous roles, as I said. But her six-minute video yesterday of her reading the letter that she wrote to the Senate committee was very astonishing to me. It really lays out the case for not confirming her cousin, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And it's hard for me to deal with this. I'm sitting here in my little studio at home looking up at pictures of her father and his father that I had in my classroom for all those years. It's got to be a difficult situation. It had to be very hard for her to put those feelings out in public. That must be how strongly she feels as she's opposed to her cousin's nomination for that role. If you have 6 minutes, find it on social media, find it somewhere on YouTube, and take a look at it. It's very powerful because it comes from a person who has been reluctant to enter that fray over the years, in spite of her being a very public figure. Okay, now we enter the fun and games part of the podcast. Good, good. Number four, Super Bowl 59, we now know, will be played on Sunday, February 9th in New Orleans between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Chiefs are looking to become the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowls. Now, that's in the Super Bowl era. The Green Bay Packers, for instance, won three straight NFL titles when I was a kid. 1965, 66, and 67. The last two of those, there was a Super Bowl afterwards that they also won. They won Super Bowls 1 and 2. Green Bay won three straight NFL titles, last team to do so. The Eagles would be the first team to win three straight Super Bowls in the Super Bowl era. They were NFL champs. The Eagles were in 1948, 1949, 1960, and again, they won Super Bowl 52 in the 2018 season. Kansas City, again, looking to become the first team to win three straight. They won Super Bowl IV in 1969-70. the 1970 Super Bowl after the 1969 season. And now they have gone on this run recently with Patrick Mahomes, etc. Another thing that I'll talk about in the sports world here today, I don't know how many of you have watched any of the matches, if you will, of the Indoor Golf League TGL. They are on different nights. This one was on a Monday night on ESPN, and it featured Rory McIlroy's team against Tiger Woods' team. They were the co-founders of this league. And despite me being a kind of a golf traditionalist in a lot of ways, I really have enjoyed the idea. I think it's a positive for the game of golf. They finally had a close match. They've had 3 or 4 weeks of this already, and the matches have been blowouts. They finally had a close match on Monday night. It was won by Tiger's Jupiter golf team over Rory's Boston Common Golf on a chip-off, actually, after the last hole. Again, those of you who know me from being a golf coach or loving golf, etc., you know that I'm kind of traditional, but I really like this. I'm on board. I think it's a good sign for the sport. I think it will get young people interested in the sport more so than they might already be. It doesn't take the place of regular tournaments and all. I'm not, you know, crazy about that, but I think it's enjoyable. I think it's a good presentation for television, and I think it helps our world of professional golf to have it around. I'm a positive supporter of TGL right now. All right, coming in March, I want to remind everybody, when we launched the podcast last March, we set up a bracket challenge for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I will plan on doing that again. This will be year two for the Then and Now bracket challenge. We'll put out more on this closer to tournament time. We're not there yet. Can anyone dethrone Nikki Kamara Yates, the Talmadge Athletic Hall of Famer, who won our first bracket challenge back in March and April of 2024? We'll have that coming up later in March, so stay tuned for that. We'll announce when that goes live, and we'll play again, and we'll have some fun. Now, to Three Good Questions, the part of the podcast where we do three good questions from you all. I've actually contributed one this week. Let's go to question number one. It's from Jeff Cole. Basketball freshman Cooper Flagg is currently averaging more than 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. He's a fantastic player. Who was the last Power Conference freshman to reach those numbers, 19, 8, and 4? Here's a hint for you, and we'll reveal the answer next week. You can take a guess, if you like, by emailing us at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. Here's the hint. This person played in the SEC, and he is a 3-time NBA All-Star. That's our hint to the last freshman, Power Conference freshman, to average 19, 8, and 4 in their freshman season. Okay, question number two, also from Jeff. Since the NFL-AFL merger in 1970, only two NFL coaches have lost 3 or more conference championship games at home. Who are they? Which are the only two NFL coaches to lose 3 or more conference championship games, not Super Bowls, at home? Okay, there are 2 of them, and we'll reveal those answers next week. You can take a shot at it at our email address. Question number 3, I came up with this one, and we'll also reveal that next week. Who was the last player to be selected number 1 in the NFL draft coming off of a college football national championship? The reason this was asked is somebody pointed out that if Ohio State freshman wide receiver Jeremiah Smith was eligible for the draft this year, he'd probably be the first guy taken. He's not. Don't worry. He's got 2 more years before he can go to the NFL. But who was the last player to be selected number 1 overall in the NFL draft who was coming off of a national championship for their team in college? And again, we'll reveal the answer to that and the other 2 questions next week on our 50th episode of Then and Now. All right. That ought to do it. I feel like that was a long-winded episode. We had a lot of things to comment on. I've been writing stuff down this morning before doing the podcast. But yeah, there's a lot going on. So I thought we covered it enough. Thanks for listening again. This is John Shomo. You can get us on Spotify. Thanks for choosing Then and Now out there. Thanks to our loyal listeners. Great feedback from you guys. Take it easy, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.